takes a while to do all those. You have to get them in. So there is some timeline. It's, I think the clerk would tell me it's about a 20-step process to do it. I've highlighted the main ones, but it is something that can be done. This being an odd-numbered year, it would be a special referendum, so you'd have all the costs associated with that because there are no other on even number years by statute. You're required to go into one of the existing regular elections. So that was the second and third bullet point in the council action. The next two pages address the preliminary health insurance modification and impacts. This was discussed at personnel at some length last night. What the second page, that second column there, shows the benefit levels that have existed for a while within the city's health plan. We've been doing very good in managing other aspects of the plan, such that for about the last 4 or 5 years, premiums have actually reduced. As we noted at our earlier presentation, we don't believe we'll be able to do that, continue to do that. So we had our broker put together some costing, looking at our claims history, and the discussion we had with the personnel committee last night, and there's some members, aldermen here who are at that, who can correct me if I misportray this, but moving toward the alternative plan 2, which is effectively doubling the annual deductibles, doubling the or increasing the copays and the office visits, doubling those, and increasing the out-of-pocket maximums by triple. That about gets us to the level that we talked about at the last meeting that we needed to back things off. Now, there's still some more work to do with that and reconciling two different estimates we have on what our baseline trend for this year is, because we're only 6 months of data with our current provider. So it may be a little bit better, may be a little bit worse. The reason I've got two pages in here is because the goal is over the next 2 or 3 years to move to this higher level deductible plan that we had here, which is still a good benefit, but is more commensurate with the marketplace and more consistent with the comparables that we had in the comp study. But to work toward adding a second plan that is a higher deductible health savings account plan that then becomes portable, that employees can take with them if they move to another job, because that is becoming more prevalent in your workforce. And for an individual who doesn't feel that they're going to have many claims in a year, an HSA with a higher deductible is going to have a lower premium, so they have a lower monthly out-of-pocket. So the expectation, based on the history that the consultant has seen, is that with proper education, we can probably get about 25% or more of the employees to elect to move into that plan. So if we worked toward that over a 2 or 3 year period, that would give us the ability to make sure employees are properly educated to make that choice. And then in the shorter term after that, if the city needed to make the move to where we were only in the HSA, we would have the administrative structure in place and other employees already using it. That could show it can still have benefits and made to work. So that was the discussion we had at the personnel committee yesterday. I believe I've accurately portrayed it. But it does look as though we've got a level of benefit that can get the savings talked about at the last meeting.
Alderman Barber.
I think last night, maybe I'm wrong, we talked about moving to the HSA as preliminary steps in 2019.
We talked about it in the second or third year. I don't know that we said definitively it would be the second year, but we don't anticipate it being in 2019. 18, that it would take at least 2 years to do it. I think 2019 would probably be my preference. As you can see, there is the potential for some added savings there. It does open up an alternative that some employees will like, and that alternative can have savings. But there's a lot of administrative work to do. And you also have to design the two plans carefully in conjunction with each other so that you're getting the right result as far as who's electing to move to that plan. You don't want to create any condition of adverse selection. So there's a fair bit of work to do to get to that point. And we didn't view that as reasonable for 2018, given what we're going to be doing throughout the rest of the budget.
Correct, Mark. It was discussion in regards to taking a step at a time. So this upcoming budget would be one move to an alternate plan. Then at this point, Mark and staff can talk to employees and pre-warn them that, hey, the city's moving in a direction. And then we may have to set up some subcommittees or a subcommittee to really evaluate this and look at the ins and outs of it so we come up with a plan that will work for the city. Okay? I don't know where that's going to go at this point yet.
Yeah. One of the benefits is we've done results suggest we've done a good job the last 5 years managing our health plan because we have been able to keep our premium down. And that during the Act 10 time and other communities have had some financial pressure worse than ours, have a number of communities that have already moved towards the HSA. So we will now be able to benefit from their experience, what they learned, what the brokers learned working in this environment and in the Southeast Wisconsin market. So I do expect we'll maybe be able to make the move a little more quickly because it's already more prevalent. We just haven't had to move there because our health insurance hasn't been a problem because we've been able to hold it stable for 5 years. But, you know, that sort of time has expired, and now we need to look to the next strategies to do it, and that will involve transitioning toward an HSA over the near term.
Okay, thanks, Mark.
The next one, I'm not going to read all of these, but I will highlight some. As I said, in this process, there may be a point where if we can't find solutions that are acceptable to you in every way to fill the hole, often cuts happen. So I did put out to each of the department heads, you know, give me sort of your brainstorm ideas that if someone said, hey, what might be things we can cut? What segments of what you do are maybe something that can be bifurcated, you know? And we've listed them here. So please note the note on top that these are roughly conceived brainstorming ideas. So they're not fully fleshed out. You know, the numbers are not financially firm numbers. But this gives you some idea as we talk about, you know, building permits, or you know, do we go to prior year tax dollars? Do we even use the authorized amount of levy for this year? What might be on the other side of the scale that you have to consider? And it's things as simple as you don't do leaf and brush pickup. You turn off streetlights. I've known communities to do that. They the health department gets a lot of grants. If the employees are made dependent upon grants, that's good if you got the grants, but it's troublesome if grants stagger other years because then you're laying people off who may not become available. It also puts at risk their losing the agent city status. You can see in the police chief itemized a couple of individual programs that are, you know, could be discontinued. No one, each of them have some very good PR and good public service, But if we're scraping the barrel, these might be things that come up off the bottom. You can reduce conferences, travel, training, staff development to levels only required for certifications. That's usually an easy, low-hanging fruit people like to pick, but I'll be honest with you, it's also evidence of what is often considered in managerial circles as not a strong organization. Because if you leave your remaining employees with no staff development, you tend to get a stale body of employees, and you're not having that influx of ideas that you need. But it is one thing that I've seen used. The business appreciation event, Civic Celebration St. Martin's. You heard the police chiefs talk about Milwaukee County doing browning out of stations or apparatus. That is something that can be done. The fire department has another team, which is the technical rescue team. That could be eliminated, as could the chief could be told not to pursue the dive team any further and just use the regional resources. The fire chief did list a couple revenue options there, some of which might have offsetting levy requirements if it's a new revenue, so we'd have to look at that. And then you could eliminate special hours in Treasury for tax collection. We have periods where we're open extra hours for people. People like that. Not a lot of money, but it is extra money. You can reduce non-safety park maintenance. You only have to mow such that you don't violate the statutes for the weed ordinance. You can eliminate the donations to the senior program. You could adopt the Fair Labor Standards Act 40-hour work week rule. When we went through Act 10, we did a detailed study of that for dispatch and DPW and determined the risks to service weren't worth the approximately $25,000 that could be saved. And if I look at some of my peers in other communities, it's evident to me that that was the right choice. But if productivity is less important than tax dollars, that might be something we want to change. And then you always have the layoffs, furloughs, and other unpaid leave options that were sort of bandied about by a number of communities back in when the economy hit the fan back in 2008 and 2010. You could change payroll to one time per month. You could further reduce facilities maintenance and cleaning. You know, we don't do much of that now. But we can make employees carry their own garbage out. You know, these aren't good things, but there's not, when you just have core services, it's hard to find things that can be shaved off. So this was also, I don't want to say done hastily, but it was, department heads were given a day or two, put something together, just threw them out there. So I'm not saying this is all-inclusive, but it gives you an idea of the kinds of things that come to the top of the mind when you're looking at cutting services. The next one, if there's no questions on that, the next page switches to anticipated development levels that will impact permit fee revenue. The reason I wanted to get this item in front of you a little sooner is because you have heard the discussion this year that one of the things leading to what could be a deficit at the end of this year, or at least is one of the most noticeable deviations, are building permit revenues. Because last year, when we were sitting around at budget time, we anticipated, and it was added at the end with the specific expectation that ballpark commons would move forward with a lot of development. That hasn't happened. Those permit revenues haven't occurred. So the list you see here was developed in conjunction with the economic development director, and this is sort of his expectation of when he thinks things are likely to happen. So absent any direction otherwise from the council, you can anticipate that we'll probably build a permit fee model based upon these patterns, that ballpark commons will occur. And there'll be construction permits significantly pulled in 2018, although the actual construction probably won't finish till 2019. But by the end of that year, the permits will occur. But not.
Can you put some kind of fine or increase on these developers that keep coming in with plans over and over and over and remodifying? It's getting to be ridiculous. You know, how much staff review time happens because they don't put their stuff in, and you got to review it, and then they got to amend it, and then they got to review it again, and then they got to amend it.
Obviously, we can, because you can have a permit fee, review it, and say, well, we're done with this. Now you have a reapplication fee.
But stop a lot of this stuff.
But I would say in 2007 and 2009, we were doing the exact opposite. We were, how can we be friendly to business? We simplified permits. We consolidated permits. For certain businesses, we even said, hey, let's make this a city application so they don't have any fees at all. You know, there were motions to waive fees that usually Jesse and I had to say, you can't really waive fees. You got to treat everybody fairly. You know, everybody pays their fees. You know, so it's obviously something we can do, but
I'm talking about when you just said, yeah.
You know, but we do have resubmission and reinspection fees in both planning and building inspection. But I can tell you, in building inspection, if the people are making a concerted effort and we have simple corrections, they don't always make them pay a whole fee. But when they come back and have an entirely changed plan, nothing that they talked about, or the first plan was so poorly done, they do use the reinspection fee or the resubmission fee. I expect one thing I will do, because it was anticipated last year for this year's budget, and even if I have to rush it through, you will probably see it before you see the budget, which is an increase in the building inspection fee amounts, the individual permits. We haven't increased them for a while. We anticipated it for this year. We started work on it earlier, and it got set aside. I am going to push that through fairly quickly, because our rates haven't been changed for a while, and they should be higher. And these total numbers could be raised anywhere from 6 to 10%. Just based upon adjustments to the individual fee levels. And we have some more work to do on the baseline amount in that permit. Because if you really do have some new subdivisions opening up, we can anticipate better numbers of new housing starts, which add up in that core baseline number. Using this, we at least, I believe, achieve filling the portion of the hole that I told you at the last meeting. You know, we should be able to at least get, I think it was 270,000 back or something like that. This may get a little better when we tweak it. It's not going to solve the whole problem. But this says the problem we've experienced this year, which the finance director incorporated into the initial budget projection because he was using actual permits coming in, that will go away again. But because we'll fill that with saying, no, we really think these will still happen. If they don't happen again next year, you'll have another deficit from them again next year. But so unless I hear differently, this sort of structure, unless anything changes from Aaron's perspective, will be used as the basis for estimating in a more detailed level the amount of permit fees, which does help to fill the hole from what we talked about last time.
With condos, you make a condo association, have a private road that only serves a condo association. But yet you have a cul-de-sac come in that only serves that private development, but it becomes a city road. How is that even fair?
Well, the ownership structure between them is different, and so it becomes fair because that's how the statutes play out. You can.
I'm talking about revenue.
I know what you're talking about.
Revenue to take away having to.
Well, in that permit fee revenue, I had that same problem when I was at the administrator in Caledonia, and we created a fee.
Right.
and cul-de-sacs had an extra fee, but it was based specifically on added services, meaning snowplow trucks had to turn around.
Well, it took longer.
And so I actually measured how long it took. You know, we stood there with a stopwatch.
Put that in your list right now. Write that in your list about extra fees for cul-de-sacs.
So it's a pretty small amount.
Okay. It might give me the $800 so I can look at the stuff online for subscriptions.
The last two bullet points on the sheet, we'll probably talk about more later, and there's no handout. I just want to, if people want more on it, let me know, or if everybody gets the concept already, this will be the last you have to hear about it. But capital outlay and capital improvements versus operating expenses. In fact, there was a comment earlier in the meeting. If you're having a tough budget year, how can you afford this truck? Or how can you build a park and tell me you can't afford taxes? There is a real difference in how municipal organizations occur when you look at capital expenditures versus operating. And it has to go with the ongoing nature of the expense. Okay, a capital expenditure usually has a one-time purchase. You've planned for it. You've identified the money for it. And once you've made that purchase, all those items you did for DPW, you really don't have that level of ongoing. Most of those pieces, unless they're brand new pieces we've never had, the piece it's replacing was already using oil, was already using some maintenance, already using tires and gas. Those don't tend to increase your operations. You're operating. And that's where, when we start talking about property tax levy and the budget, that's where we tend to focus most of our budget, our effort and our discussion, on the operating side, that ongoing cost. How do you control the ongoing cost of government? So despite us telling you that this is going to be a tough budget year and talking about these deficits, you still will likely see that we have some capital expenditures that need to be made, you know, maybe some significant appropriations for some, you know, IT infrastructure and backbone and continued security. That those expenditures, if you want to say, but I want to take that money and put it over in operations, since it's used up once, it's hard to move to operations. You have to find one-time expenditures in operations. And in our 2017 budget, we did that for a number of things. We identified them as one-time expenditures, not reoccurring, funded them out of fund balance. That's very much like you would do with the capital. And I can tell you we'll probably look for some of those this year to do. We listed one of them, I think some repayment of some property tax bills that we listed last time as we're going to move this to fund balance and do it as a one-time expenditure. So that's one thing you can expect to see, that as long as we're doing that long-term monitoring of the debt and the borrowing and structuring that out, we can be very tight on the operating side and still have good long-term planning on the capital side. And that becomes important for our long-term health. And when we get to that, if we need to go through that or you need more evidence of that, we can prepare it. And then the last one, I don't think I'm even going to cover today. We'll talk about that more, which is reallocating resources from the capital funds. As we look at those capital items and as we talk about landfill siting fees in the future, we'll cover that one in more detail. So those are the things I wanted to sort of get in front of you, particularly let you understand the options with property tax levies and limits and the options with service cuts, because in the end, those two things may be competing against each other.
Okay, thank you.
To receive and place on file.
Motion. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. 5-1-0. No, 5-0. One absent. Motion carries. We went through 32 and 33.
Hey, did I have
some clothes?
32 is done.
Oh, that's in licensing. Okay. Alderwoman, we have licensing.
No, we're giving it to John. He's doing it.
Oh, Okay. Alderman Nelson, we've got two licensing matters. The first one is H1.
Okay, starting with The Rock, we just want to put in there that it will be the same as their 2016 permit, just to be noted that there will be music extended till 11 p.m. on Friday and Saturday, opposed to what's the 10:30 p.m. recommendation from staff.
It's actually no change from last year is what it is. But just clarifying, the staff had a comment about ending it earlier.
Okay, moving forward. Dixon approve. I don't have a clear determination here, Alderwoman, about Julian.
She didn't show up, so she's on hold again for her second time.
Okay. Approve. Van Egren. Boylan was hold for appearance. The rest of the page is approved. Page 2. Approve down to McCourt. And then that's approve. Are we contingent upon completion?
Completion of application.
Who? McCourt?
McCourt.
Yeah, they didn't answer some questions.
So it's approved through loose.
Yep, through loose. Then McCourt is approved pending application completion.
Okay.
Then the last three are approved. Page 3, approved all the way. Okay.
Second.
Hearing the first and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Against? Hearing none. Motion carries. 5-0, one absent. The matter of a complaint against Cicilano. This is a matter that will go into closed session.
If there's
a motion.
Do we have to go into closed session?
Counsel, the attorney, do I have to go into closed session?
Because there's recommended action, isn't there?
It's in the discretion of the common counsel. There is a specific recommendation report, which includes findings of fact, conclusions of law, and the recommendation as to action from the license committee. In that regard, I do have one point. The Wisconsin statutes applicable to the proceedings provide that, and it specifically applies to the municipal governing body. And that if the matter is before the governing body as opposed to a committee, that if the complaint is found to be true, the license shall either be suspended for not less than 10 days nor more than 90 days or revoked. And in the section which applies to when the process is held before a committee of the common council, that those provisions under the subsection I just read, which includes not more than 90 days as to a revocation, would apply. So staff would recommend that instead of 6 months in the deliberations of the recommendation from the license committee, that the common council would consider a 90-day suspension. Also, I would note for the record that I understand that the licensee was notified that the matter would be before the common council this evening, as well as with regard to the license committee report to the common council, and that the licensee, as well as the complainant, who also is not present, have the opportunity to present arguments to the common council. My understanding is that no written arguments have been presented to the council, and neither the complainant nor the licensee is present here this evening.
So,
So, Alderwoman Wilhelm.
With that, I think the second motion adopting the licensing committee report, amending the 6 months to 90 days to fall in compliance.
Okay. So why don't you read it properly into the record then?
Motion to adopt the license committee report, findings of fact, conclusions of law, and recommendation is to act and award a 2017-2018 operator license to Vito Siciliano and subsequently suspend the same for 90 days commencing on July 14, 2017.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Against? None. Motion carries. 5-0-1 absent. On to vouchers and payrolls. I-1. I have to read all this up here, don't I?
No,
just this. Motion. I'm looking for a motion approving the following. City vouchers with an ending date of July 13, 2017 in the amount of $1,663,979.60 and payroll dated June 23, 2017 in the amount of $329,202.33 and payments of various payroll deductions in the amount of $397,355.79 plus city matching payments and payroll dated July 7, 2017 in the amount of $371,716.50 and payments of various payroll deductions in the amount of $215,110.78 plus city matching payments and payments and property tax payments and refunds with an ending date of July 13, 2017 in the amount of $2,495.99 and payment to that doesn't say and after that. But I can say and, or is it a separate motion?
No, it can be the same.
Okay. And payment to Matt Talbot of $19,993 as the first installment of water main oversizing as directed April 3rd, 2017 by the Common Council. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Hearing a first and second, any further discussion? All in favor? Roll. I need a roll.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
All in favor? The count is 5 in favor, none against, at 1 absent. Motion passes. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Hearing a first and second. No further discussion. We're adjourned.